So, what do you want? Do you even know? There's someone who does, and just being with him introduces us to what we've always wanted, but may have been having a hard time figuring out. In the next few weeks, we're going to be visiting in the gospel again and again as Jesus met one individual after another after another. And in one way or another, they were all discovering what it was they had wanted all along. The first is found in John chapter 1, and that's where we'll be reading today. Jesus was just beginning to gather his disciples. Let's pray together before we read God's word. Lord, we pray that your word, as Jesus spoke it long ago, and as John has captured it for the gospel, that that word now will come alive and that you'll speak it deep into our hearts. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you want?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about 4 in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, Bible trivia time. What are the first questions asked in the Old Testament and the New Testament? First question in the Old Testament, God asked this to Adam and Eve after they had chosen against God and were hiding in the bushes. The Lord came walking through the garden. They felt they needed to hide now. They'd never hidden from him before, but there they were hiding. He walks through the garden. And it's not as if he didn't know the answer, but they needed to hear him ask. And so he said, the first question was, "Where are you?" And then in the New Testament, the first question came as the Lord was gathering disciples, and these two had come to him inquiring, and he asked them this question, "What do you want?" Now, those are good questions for Bible trivia game, but they're not trivial questions. And in both cases, the Lord asked them, knowing that they did not know the answer. When we recall how Jesus called his disciples, most of us think of those stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He sees these guys fishing. He says, "Come follow me," and they leave their nets, and they do. They're wonderful, wonderful stories. John's gospel has the backstory, and that's what we just read part of. Apparently, John the disciple and Andrew the disciple were first disciples of John the Baptist. They were spiritual seekers, and when they heard John the Baptist preach, they'd never heard anything like that in their lives, and because they were seekers, they wanted more. They went to hear more. Something about his preaching awakened a desire within them. But as it turned out, John the Baptist was not really what they were looking for. And John the Baptist himself knew that. He was pointing toward the one who would follow him. And actually the day came when Jesus approached and John was able literally to point to him and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And on that recommendation, John the disciple and Andrew the disciple left discipleship with John the Baptist and went to check out this guy, check out Jesus, to behold him. as John had told them to do. And when Jesus saw them, the first thing he asked them was this question: what do you want? Now, he wasn't being sarcastic. It wasn't a "what do you want?" It was a straight-up question. What do you want? But something about Jesus made them sense that if they could be with him, they'd figure it out. And the closest thing they could get to articulating that was to say, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Well, come and see." Jesus knew that they most deeply wanted what they themselves did not want. Didn't know they wanted, rather. They didn't know their own deep yearnings, or that those deepest yearnings would be met by Jesus himself. They couldn't just hear about Jesus. They couldn't just read about Jesus. They actually had to be with Jesus to begin to figure out what it was that they really wanted. And it was this kind of understanding that can come only from being together. In 1981, Sarah and I, and actually baby Lindsay, moved to Winfield, Louisiana, a little town in north central Louisiana. I accepted my first call as a pastor, town of 8,000. Sarah and I had been in the South a good bit, but we'd always been city people, and we didn't really understand how small towns worked. So, I mean, we moved in next door to the church. Our house was right next door to the church, and the church was downtown. But we didn't realize that we were public figures. Everybody knew who we were. Until Sarah went to the grocery one day, and the bag boy at the grocery said, "How do you like those new ceiling fans in your house?" Well, she didn't know who the bag boy was, but he knew who she was, and he knew what was in our house. And this was our introduction to how life works in a small town. It works differently than in a city. Really, you could know everybody, or at least recognize everybody in town. And another thing that surprised me about life there, I would stop and ask someone for directions, and they knew how to find anyone, but they didn't know the street names. They didn't bother to learn the street names because they knew who was in every house. And so if you asked them for directions, here's what they would say: "Go up here to the old Jones place, turn left, and you'll see it right there in front of you next to the mayor's house." Well, I wanted street names. You can't put that kind of knowledge that they're speaking on a map. This is not grid knowledge. It was knowledge that they had by living together, being together in Winfield as fellow residents there. And it's what we began to enter by living there with them. The basic goals of religion are to draw lines on maps, and to make a grid, and to formulate some principles. These aren't bad things. I mean, they have their own value. They help us figure out at points in life what we need to do. And the Pharisees were really, really good at this. They were the most religious guys in Jesus' day, and they had it all mapped out. Everything. They had a rule for every occasion and sub-points for every eventuality. And they had detailed maps of how life should work. And if you want to be religious, I mean, that you would think that's exactly what you'd want, right? You want detailed maps of how to go about life and how to find things. But Jesus knew that this deep yearning in the hearts of Andrew and John, who had come to him, could not be found on a map. It could only be found by being with him. Saint Augustine was the bishop in North Africa up till his death in 430 AD. And I think probably second only to the writers of the New Testament, Augustine has shaped our understanding of what God has done in Jesus Christ. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. And he did a lot of foundational thinking on what it means that we're made in the image of God, but that sin has marred the image in us, which leaves us perpetually restless. We're yearning for something, but we don't even know what it is we're yearning for. It's part of our brokenness. And this matched Augustine's own experience. He tried a little bit of everything. Always restless, always yearning, never finding, until he was found by the one who wanted him even more than he wanted to be found. He was found by Jesus. And here's how later in life he described this event in his life, or actually described it for us all. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." You were made in his image. You were designed by him to resonate with him, to receive his love, to give his kind of love. These were the capacities that were built right into Adam and Eve that they set aside when they chose against God. And so they'd lost that capacity. And it's what the Lord was trying to call forth from them when he asked them, "Where are you?" Well, they didn't know. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know what they wanted. And it's been that way in every generation. Our hearts are restless until they find... And what was it we were looking for? We have all these tools that help us find anything. Just like that. Just like that. We can find the information. We can find the location. Doesn't mean we know what we want. You can ask Google, "What do I want?" Google doesn't know. You can do a search on Amazon. Amazon can't tell you that. Now, actually, Amazon and Google have tracked your purchases, and they've tracked your clicks on the internet, and they use their mathematical formulas to predict, and, well, you know, if he likes this, I bet if we send him this ad, he might like that we're trying to peddle. And doggone if it doesn't work. They know you in a manner. They know what you're prone to do, what you're prone to want, but it doesn't go very deep. This is all at the surface. They have no way of knowing what Jesus knew. The deep, deep yearning of your hearts. And every purchase by which we're trying to fill that void within just leaves us more hungry in the end. You may have heard the story about Ryan Bingham. Ryan was a motivational speaker on the road, and his shtick was telling people how to shed everything that might slow them down or hold them back. And he lived his message. Since he kept finding himself more and more on the road, he decided he would just go with it. And he began to drop everything. Dropped his relationships, dropped his commitments, dropped his calendar dates that didn't have to do with speaking. He just jettisoned it all. And he got this backpack that he used to make his speeches, and in it he would put the emblems of those commitments and relationships, you know, the picture of someone that he would take out and set aside, and the calendar that he would pull out and set aside. And his point was that you don't need all this, and once you get them out, your backpack's a lot lighter, and you're free to go, which he was. I mean, he could go at the drop of a hat. He didn't have to check with anyone. Free to go and do. And because he'd done it a long time, he was up in the rarefied air of million-mile travelers. And he lived in airports and hotels for months at a time. Once his administrative assistant got curious about what he was up to, really, this constant going, and it seemed to be more than just enjoyment of travel. And so, in her curiosity, she asked him the same question that Jesus asked Andrew and John. She asked him, "Ryan, what do you want?" And he didn't know. Didn't have a clue. One long after that he crossed the million-mile mark, and the pilot, before they took off, came out of the cabin and came back to where Ryan was seated. And asked him, "So where are you from?" And the only thing Ryan could think to say was, "Well, I guess I'm from here." Our hearts are restless And in 2020, they're restless on steroids. Jesus knew what Andrew and John were seeking, even if they couldn't quite put a finger on it themselves. And so he said, come and see. Come and see. And sure enough, something happened when they did. They couldn't have explained it. I mean, you could have asked them a week later. They still weren't understanding exactly what was going on, but they knew. In the presence of Jesus, this excitement began to rise up in them, enough that they were eager to go tell someone. And Andrew first went to find his brother Simon, the one that Jesus would nickname Peter. And Andrew told Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Now, Andrew had just done what we all do when we're excited about something, right? That's what we do. And we tell someone we love about our excitement and what we've discovered. And Andrew just couldn't wait to describe this to his brother Simon. And if you'd asked him at this point to explain Jesus, couldn't have done that. Really didn't get it. If you'd asked him why he thought Jesus was the Messiah, he probably couldn't have even done that. At that point, Andrew's knowledge was not something you could put on a map. You could not grid it. He had to live with Jesus for a while before he began to understand what it was he was already sensing. This has to be the Messiah. I've never felt so alive as when I am with him. Andrew has always been the patron saint of evangelism. He's the one that we think of. They're St. Andrew's societies, and almost always they're these organizations that help people learn how to share the faith. Now, Andrew didn't know everything about Jesus, but when Jesus said, come and see, that's what he did. He came and he hung out with Jesus. And that's what Jesus has invited us to do. Come and see, hang out, follow me. A lot of the time, we disqualify ourselves from ever bringing anyone else to Jesus because we figure that we just can't explain Jesus well enough. I can't map this. I can't put it on a grid. So what if they ask me a question? So we won't invite them to worship or to our life group or to join us in some mission endeavor we're on, because we're afraid we can't explain what it is that's burning in our hearts. But they just need to be with Jesus, like we need to be with Jesus. And Jesus is more powerfully present in the midst of his people. And so when we invite them to be with us while we're with Jesus, we're not just inviting them to church, that's its own goodness. We're inviting them to be in the presence of Jesus, which is what they've always needed, whether they knew it or not. Now, that's part of how we disqualify ourselves. We think, I can't ask anybody because I can't explain it all. And the other way we disqualify ourselves is we tend to get in a snit about the foolishness of people who don't know Jesus. They're looking in really stupid places to get their needs met. And we judge them. That's stupid. Why would you do that? And so we write them off. How would they know where to look when they don't even know what they want? You learn what you want when you come into the presence of Jesus. And so when we invite them to come and be with us as we're with him, we're inviting them to come to the place where finally they can do what we have done in the presence of Jesus. Figure it out what it was we wanted all along. Instead of condemning them for looking in all the foolish places, let's invite them. Now that's what Andrew had discovered. And Andrew had this sense that I don't have to explain it all. And Peter's off doing foolish this and that, but I'm not going to condemn him. I'm going to invite him to come hang out. So that's what he did. Simon, I went to see him for myself. I can't explain it. I just know that finally I'm discovering why I'm alive. You want to come hang out? Come hang out with Jesus. I think you'll see too. And then John closes this backstory of Jesus gathering his disciples with this little snippet of how the connection actually began for Simon Peter. Simon did take his brother's advice and come to meet Jesus. Simon really didn't know who Simon was, much less who Jesus was. But Jesus knew who Simon was. And he knew what Simon most deeply wanted. And he nicknamed him Peter, which meant rock. Jesus saw Simon's deepest yearning before Simon could see it in himself. And he gave him a name that would call it forth. Named him Peter, which meant rock. Read on in the gospel. It took Simon a while to come into his name. I mean, he had it as a nickname, but it took him a while to come into it. And if you'd given him a religious map up front, he never would have gotten there. How'd he get there? He got there by hanging out with Jesus. Finally knew who he was, knew what he wanted. It came by being with Jesus. So my friends, you and I get to follow in the way of Andrew. He was invited, come and see, he did. And then he went to Brother Simon and said, come and see. And it just went from there. But it was all about being with Jesus. It's your high calling. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, thank you, thank you for drawing us to yourself. Here where we were looking here and there, and all along what we most deeply wanted was to be with you. And with you now we have the kingdom and each other. Lord, we're still discovering all the gifts that come just with being with you. Let us grow into this. Let us grow into the fullness of our identity as your people, and to have our wants, the deep wants you've built into us and now redeemed to make life-giving. Let them come forth and pursue the things that are the treasure found in you, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.